Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Thursday, August 27th. On this day, in 1859, a retired train conductor named Edwin Drake struck oil in Titusville, Pennsylvania, and started the modern world. He had no experience in geology, he had never drilled a well in his life, but he got the job for one reason. It's because he had a free rail pass from his railroad days, which meant that he could travel between New Haven and Titusville without costing his investors a penny. Well, the well that he drilled was 69 feet deep, and everything that we now take for granted, gasoline, plastics, asphalt, even synthetic fibers, well, they all started with that hole in the ground from a man who had no idea what he was doing. Okay, let's get into this one. For most of human history, oil was a nuisance. If you were a farmer in western Pennsylvania or western New York, or really anywhere with the right geology, oil was the black stuff that seeped into your well and ruined your water. It bubbled up from the ground along creeks and formed slicks on the surface. There's a reason that one of those creeks was named Oil Creek. People had been skimming it off the surface for centuries. Native Americans used it as medicine and a sealant. Early American settlers collected a small amount from natural seeps and sold it as a cure for rheumatism, colic, and pretty much anything else. But nobody wanted very much of it because nobody had a use for very much of it. The substance that people actually wanted was whale oil. In the 1850s, whale oil was the primary fuel for lamps. It burned bright and it burned clean. It was also becoming impossibly expensive. Whale populations had been hunted to near collapse. A gallon of whale oil at that point cost more than the average worker's daily wage, and the world was running out of light. A few people had started experimenting with petroleum distillates, refining crude oil into something that could burn in a lamp. Canadian geologist Abraham Gessner invented kerosene in 1846. A few small companies were collecting oil from seeps and shallow hand-dug pits, and then were refining it into lamp fuel. But the supply was tiny, measured in barrels per week, not barrels per day. Nobody had figured out how to get large quantities of oil out of the ground. A group of investors in New Haven, Connecticut had an idea. They formed a company, the Seneca Oil Company, and they had purchased land along Oil Creek in Pennsylvania. They knew that there was oil down there, but the question was how to reach it. So they hired Edwin Drake, who was a retired railroad conductor who held the title of colonel, a mostly ceremonial rank from the state militia, and dispatched him to Titusville, population 125. And his job was to figure it all out. Drake actually knew nothing about oil, which was interesting. His qualifications were that he was available, personable, and as I mentioned, he still had a free rail pass from his railroad days, which meant that he could travel between New Haven and Titusville without costing the investors a penny in expenses. This is really what started it all. Free train tickets. Pretty crazy, huh? When Drake arrived in Titusville in the spring of 1858, the locals thought that he was insane. He walked around in a top hat. He called himself Colonel Drake. He announced that he intended to drill for oil the way that people drilled for salt. Nobody had done that. Salt wells were common in the region, and salt miners occasionally hit oil by accident, which they considered a nuisance. The idea of drilling for oil on purpose, a substance that nobody knew how to sell in quantity, struck everyone as absurd. Drake then decided to hire salt well drillers, and they began digging. It was slow and expensive work, so as you can imagine, the drillers kept quitting. They were used to drilling for something that they understood. The hole kept collapsing because the ground was loose and wet. Drake solved this by driving an iron pipe down to bedrock before he began drilling inside it. He did not invent this technique, by the way. It was used in salt wells, but applying it to an oil well was novel, and it solved the collapse problem. By August, the investors in New Haven had lost patience, so they sent a letter to Drake telling him to stop. The money was gone, and there was just no more, so told him to come home. The letter arrived on August 27th, 1859. But Drake had not read it yet. That morning, at 69 and a half feet, the drill struck a crevice. Oil began rising through the pipe. The well was not spectacular by modern standards. I think it produced roughly 20 barrels a day, but it was a proof of concept. I mean, now you could drill for oil and it would flow out of the ground in quantities that made collection from surface seeps look like catching rainwater in a teacup. When the word got out, Titusville went insane. The population exploded. A barrel of oil that had sold for 50 cents was suddenly worth nothing because there was so much of it. Land that had been worth a few dollars an acre was now suddenly being leased for thousands. Within 14 months, there were 75 wells operating along Oil Creek, and that was when the first oil boom had begun. Drake himself actually didn't get rich from this. I assumed that he would, because he never patented his drilling method. He was a really bad businessman, as you can imagine, and he actually lost his money in oil speculation, which is a deeply ironic way to go broke. He ended up living in poverty, and 30 years later, the state of Pennsylvania voted to give him a small pension so that he would not die destitute. They put a statue of him in Titusville in 1902. There's actually a museum there now called the Drake Well Museum, built around a replica of his original derrick. The cascading consequences of the Drake Well are hard to overstate and also hard to compress into a few paragraphs, but I'll give it a shot. Within a few years, kerosene from petroleum had replaced whale oil as the standard lamp fuel. An entire global whaling industry with ships and ports and rendering facilities and thousands of workers all vanished. Kerosene burned brighter and cost a fraction of the price. The last American whaling ship sailed in 1921. And then came the internal combustion engine. Gasoline was a byproduct of kerosene production, something refiners just had to get rid of. They burned it off. In 1885, Carl Benz built the first practical automobile powered by his waste product. By 1900, there were 8,000 cars in the United States, and by 1920, there were 8 million. Then came plastics, synthetic rubber, asphalt for roads, petrochemical fertilizers that transformed agriculture, synthetic fabrics, all of it. These were all derived from the same substance that Edwin Drake pulled from a 69-foot hole on August 27, 1859. The deeper point is that the entire sequence was backward from what you would expect. We did not discover oil and then figure out what to do with it. We figured out what to do with it first, kerosene for lamps, and then went looking for it in bulk. And the guy who found it was not a scientist or an industrialist. He was actually a retired train conductor with a ceremonial colonel title and a free rail pass. And the interesting thing is that those investors had already given up on him by the time that he succeeded. The modern world runs on oil, but for most of human history, it was considered trash. It ruined wells, it smelled bad, it killed crops, and nobody knew what to do with it in quantity. And then one man drilled 69 feet into a hillside in Pennsylvania and pulled out enough of it to change everything. We're still living inside the cascade that he started. Some revolutions began with a speech or a battle, but this one began with a free train ticket and a stubborn man in a top hat. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.